Good afternoon, good evening. My name is Marty Plum, and I am your host of a Pen and a Napkin podcast, a weekly coaching clinic you can carry around with you in your pocket. Welcome back to our interview series, episode number 259. And this week, really excited to have a former conference foe, although on the other side of the gender, Chip Dehling, the head boys basketball coach at Douglas County West High School here just outside of Omaha. Coach has built a really, really good program there at DC West, and we're going to dive into that amongst other things here. But before we get to Coach here, we want to recognize our founding sponsor, Cosac Chiropractic, located at 144th and Maple here in Omaha. Coaches, if you or your athletes are struggling with balanced neck or spinal issues, have them go see Cosac Chiropractic. Check out their practice at cosacchiro.com. Follow us on Twitter at A Pen and a Napkin. We try to have daily coaching tidbits on A Pen and a Napkin on the Twitter handle, so be sure to follow us there. If you're listening, Spotify, iTunes, whatever it may be, like, download it, review it, give us 5 stars, all of those things. It helps A Pen and a Napkin in those ratings, and I don't know how they work, but I just know it helps. So be sure to do that, give us 5 stars and say nice things about A Pen and a Napkin. Questions, comments, suggestions, or ideas, email me apenandanapkin@gmail.com. And that is it of that stuff. Coach Dehling, how you doing this Sunday evening?
Doing well, doing well. Busy week of basketball here, just finishing up, and you know, the season's going along, getting ready for a big grind this week, some tough matchups, but doing well. Having a good weekend with family and friends.
Good, good to hear. Well, it is January, it is early January. You're battling a little bit of the dog days are probably another week-ish away. But then you're battling, you know, we got a little cold and flu season rolling through Nebraska. Haven't had any snow days yet. My niece and nephew had a snow day in Atlanta, Georgia, before we've had any snow days here in Nebraska. So that kind of tells you how crazy things have been. So, well, let's get going here, Coach. Let's start this the way we normally do, Chip. Let's talk about you, give you a chance to talk about you a little bit, your basketball journey, and tell us how you ended up being the head boys basketball coach at Douglas County West.
Yeah. So, I think I'm on my 15th season here total now. Started 15 years ago down in Fairbury, Nebraska, as assistant JV coach down there. First year down there as a JV coach, came in with a whole brand new staff. Coach Cole, I don't know if you know Coach Eric Cole, took a team out there in Sidney, Nebraska to the state tournament, made a cut for a run before they lost to Elkhorn South. Gosh, that's probably been 10, 12 years ago now. But I had a great opportunity to coach underneath him down at Fairbury, you know. He was a very passionate guy, you know, really appreciated everything that he brought to the table. And as a new young coach for myself, he was a very great guy to learn under for the first couple of years for myself, you know.
What were some of the things that he taught you that you really appreciate in hindsight?
You know, the biggest thing I took away from Coach Cole was just the genuine relationships that you have an opportunity to build with players and with the people in your program, you know. You see different people up coaching and different strategies out there. And Coach Cole was who he was, you know, and I really appreciate that about him. And he was a player's coach and what he did and the things he did with players and how he built relationships with them and the standards he held them to, you know. And he was a young guy and we were both kind of younger guys, but he had that presence about him of, hey, you know, he was who he was and you didn't fake it out there, you know, type of thing. And, mm-hmm. you know, I really appreciated the passion he had for the game and just the relationship he had, the relationship building he had with the players, you know, as young coaches that we were. And, you know, sometimes there's that mix when you come in as a young coach, but he just did a great job of building that rapport and building that support within the programs. And I still talk to a lot of those guys today, you know, from those Fairbury teams. I just had a wedding a couple weeks ago and talked to some of those Fairbury guys from down there. And, you know, it's those relationships that really make coaching kind of a bigger thing than what it is. You know, it's not so much about the X's and O's on there, but something I really learned as a young age, as a young coach down in Fairbury down there, underneath Coach Cole. And I really appreciate that.
Yep.
From Fairbury. Oh, sorry.
Yeah, no, I'm just going to say, I interrupted you. I apologize. Go ahead and keep going about your basketball journey, Coach.
From Fairbury. And I'm getting married, moving up to the metro area, took a job at DC West. Was a JV coach at DC West for 2 years under Jeremy Travis, who's now actually the AD at DC West. So new area up here in DC West, JV coach. After 2 years, was fortunate enough to take over as head coach. So been head coach here at DC West now for the last 11 years, going my 11th season there. And I still remember as a young coach, you know, and I think a lot of people, I don't know, maybe it was just me, maybe it's not a lot of people, but I think as a young coach, you know, you're hungry, you want to prove yourself, you want to do things, you want to, you know, you want to turn programs around, you want to make teams successful. And I remember going to coaches' clinics, and as a young coach, you know, you go to a bunch of different stuff, and, you know, they talk about, you know, how much the time it takes to maybe turn a program around, to turn some things around. You know, and it's been a grind. It's been a grind, but I'm really proud of what we've done there, 10, 11 years there at DC West, where we've come over those years. And we just had a lot of great kids and a lot of great families come through the program that really kind of make us successful. You know, when you have great kids and great program or great kids and great families come through your program, they make you look really smart as a coach. And yeah. I've really been appreciative of that.
Absolutely. You hit the nail on the head right there, my friend. So I'm going to get to, since you rolled into it, I'm going to get to our second question. I'm going to make it our third question. But, you know, you talked about the grind and to build things up here, you know, 10, 11 years into it. You know, what was the process like? Where did it start at? I mean, this was not the quote unquote overnight success. I mean, it took you a long time and you knocked on the door for 2 or 3 years before you kind of had that breakthrough last year. You know, so what do you think, what do you feel like were some of the key steps along the way that's enabled you to have the run that you've had the last couple of years?
Yeah, you know, early on, I think we had some success. You know, I still go back to my first year's coaching, you know. First year coaching, we unfortunately upset Fort Calhoun in the conference tournament. That was the first time DC West ever had a first round win in the conference tournament.
Wow.
And then that was a big, exciting moment for the team. It was a 2-7 matchup. And that's the kind of felt like, you know, a turning point of like, hey, we can do this. You know, like, it's not just about winning, you know, winning games, but like, we can go win big games. We can go make things here. From there, you know, we kept grinding, kept getting better. The third year there, we had a very successful team. Unfortunately, ran into Teddy Allen and Boys Town, and that what I still remember is one of the, probably the better games I've ever coached against. You know, that was a remarkable game down at Roncalli. I think Teddy Allen dropped some 40-some points on us that night. But it was just a remarkable game down there where we just fell short, you know. Mm-hmm. From there, yeah, it was a struggle for a couple of years where we might not have been – don't want to say anything. You know, we weren't maybe exceeding expectations. We were playing well, maybe not exceeding expectations. And I remember it was about five years ago now, districts just rolled out early October, you know, districts, old district format came out. Here's your districts. I remember talking to my coach, calling my coach or assistant coach, and just districts just came out. And I said, hey, you know, districts, we're going to go play this team, top 10 team. District's pretty rough that year. We're playing them down here, district tournament. What are we going to do defensively? You know, we just had an honest conversation, you know, and he's talking back to me, you know, like, you know, well, what's our matchups? Who, how are we playing? And I'm like, no, like, what are we going to do? We need to have a better identity about ourselves, I felt like. Mm-hmm. And we just had a big conversation that day about 5 years ago, and we said, hey, we're going to make it our mission that we're going to be one of the best defensive teams we can. And we really kind of made a big focus on it. We started digging into our team, our identities. From that point on, we started kind of tracking the state tournament teams. You know, if you want to make it down a state, you know, this season, the state tournament teams typically hold teams at a defensive average between 42, 44 points per game. It's what I've been finding from year to year. And at that point, like, we were playing well defensively, but we were averaging about 50, 52 on the defensive end.
Uh-huh.
From that point, 5 years straight now, we've actually broken our school's defensive records per game. We've gone from 52 to 50. To 45 to 42 to last year where we had 39.8 points per game on the defensive end. And, you know, and we can talk about it, like, it's a commitment on our guys and our team to what we do. You know, not many people want to get up and guard 94 feet and put pressure on teams during the summer and during the years and every game, just practice and grind that way. But it's a commitment to our guys and what they believe in. They believe in the process and they believe in the identity of, you know, making defense tough, making defense our identity. And that's really been kind of the big thing that's helped, I think, push us over the edge. We've had a lot of successful teams come through, a lot of successful players come through, but it's just that commitment to the defensive end that we've really focused on these last 4 or 5 years that helped push last year's team over the edge, I felt like.
Yeah. What, you know, as you researched that, as you looked at it, you know, and you took the data, which I think is awesome. You know, you took the data, you took the analytics, you put it all together. Then did you look at and maybe I'm giving something away for later on in the podcast here, but did you look at certain people and how they did things? How did you break that down even further, Coach?
We've always been kind of a pack line man defense kind of, which has been nice. The shot clock's been nice this year for it. We did run into some teams over the years that would stall a little bit more because that's not as much pressure, even though we're more in the gaps, not up the line, on the line type of thing. We went out there and talked to some coaches. At the time, even as a young coach, though, I talked to a lot of different coaches more about program building than did on the defensive end. But a lot of it was just, Jim Boone. I think Jim Boone was a big asset for me.
Yeah.
Big pack line guy in the Division III. I think he's up in North Carolina somewhere now.
He's bounced around a little bit, but tremendously influential. Yep.
He's been a big influence on what we do and how we do it defensively. Reached out to him a few times, sent me some information, some different stuff. But a lot of it is just, trying to find out who we were and what we wanted to do, and then just having the right players, the commitment to it, top to bottom, whether it's varsity, JV, reserves, like we want to build, we want to install what we do defensively and how we are. And it's great to see that success follow, so it's been good for the guys to see that.
Mm-hmm. Coach, tell me a little bit about your first a pen and a napkin moment, or your first time you started doodling X's and O's in a serious way, and when do you remember start scribbling stuff down and felt like you were starting to develop as a coach?
Honestly, for me, probably was even in high school. I think as a senior in high school, I remember having conversations with our head coach. And just talking through things and just having that mind for the game of just understanding there's more to it than everything else that goes with it, And I remember just having a great conversation with my coach as a senior. Going to college, I was very passionate about wanting to get into coaching, doing some different things. And I remember just, a lot of it was just, through college and through conversations with friends about, what can be done to turn a program around, to make a winning program, and to be successful. Mm-hmm. I guess for me, I think a lot of it started in high school, just with friends and with the coaches, staff, and you have to have a good coaching staff that wants to listen to a high school senior as they talk through, like, hey, we thought about doing this or thought about doing it this way. And for me, I think I started developing that love for the game kind of in high school, really, of wanting to give back. Really had a lot of success in high school, and I really enjoyed coaching, or really enjoyed playing, and just the idea of, hey, how do you give back to basketball once you're done playing. Mm-hmm. And for me, it was trying to get into coaching and develop that love and continue to pass that love on to other people.
Mm-hmm. Describe that feeling of winning your district championship last year.
That was something. It was exhilarating. I don't want to say relief. It was one of those things where I feel like we've had a lot of good teams. Mm-hmm. I feel like we had a lot of good teams. I feel like we've had been very close a lot of years. But for last year to do it, it was an enormous, I don't know if there's words to explain it, just that passion, that love for the game, for me, I know the first thing I did was went over and hugged my wife, hugged my kids. They've been through side by side for you for 10 years. You obviously know families, how yep. families are very supportive of you during the winter basketball season. And for me, it was just, that appreciation, I think, to go thank the people that have helped along the way. Mm-hmm. It's the biggest thing for me is maybe it was just appreciation, just, it's not easy to do that. It's not easy to go to state tournament, at any level, A, B, C, 1, C, 2, D, 1, D, 2. It takes a lot of work and a lot of work behind the scenes. So for maybe the biggest work for me was just the appreciation of everybody and everything that helped get us to where we were, mm-hmm. If a lot of it was, past players, we had some past players there in Cozad after we won that. It was great to go. Thanks to those guys, they weren't able to maybe cut down the net themselves. But they helped build our program to where we were. Mm-hmm. And it wasn't for them 3, 4, 5, 10 years ago, helping build this program to where we are, we don't make that happen.
Yeah.
So I think the biggest thing, yeah, I guess the best, biggest part of the biggest thing is probably just appreciation of anybody and everybody that's, you know, come through this program that's helped us where we are, and to keep building it, moving it forward.
Mm-hmm. So you're the new guy going to the state tournament, and you get blessed with the matchup of going with the, against a guy who's been there about 100 times in Jim Weeks and Auburn. What'd you learn through your first state tournament run, Coach?
Man, you know, there's definitely something to be said about those first game jitters down there. You know, I wish we could take that first quarter back. You know, I think we came out down. God, we found ourselves down. We had some good looks. We came out there. We had a plan what we wanted to do. You know, we knew they were going to switch and what they do over there. You know, Jim Weeks, obviously, great coach over there. And, you know, they do some things switching on the defensive side and how they do offensively. And, you know, we had some good looks that we wanted to get to early to kind of ease some nerves in the game. And some of those good looks we had just didn't fall. You know, we got ourselves down early in the first quarter. I think we were down 14-15. But after that, you know, we won the next three quarters, ended up falling and losing by two. But it's one of those games where, you know, just so much appreciative of the guys, because we've been down there to stay, and, you know, you can find yourself behind early, but just a testament to the guys and who we have and the guys that we have in the court, where they just kept fighting and battling and just knowing that it's a four quarter game. You know, we kept talking about, like, hey, we got to win this next 2 minutes. We got to win this next 3 minutes. You know, we're not going to make this big comeback just by one shot, but it's just, hey, we had to go in these next 3 minutes. I think every time we've had a timeout, every time we had a quarter break, it's, hey, we're going to go in these next 3 minutes. And we just kept kind of putting smaller things into it until by the end of the game, we kind of kept stringing together good 3 to 4 minute stretches where, you know, we had a shot to, I think we stole the ball in the inbound there, and our guys didn't get the 3-pointer off in time, ended up still missing it. But, you know, we had a shot there to steal it and, you know, get a shot up for the win. So it's, again, testament to the guys down there. But as a learning man, there's a lot of good teams down there. You know, it's very appreciative just to make it down there, but it also leaves you hungry to get back down there and to go get that next win, to go make it a step further. And just appreciate inmates down there. You know, you have a lot of great coaching down there, a lot of great programs that are down there. Anything that makes it down there, they've earned it, you know. And, you know, Coach Weeks, obviously, you know, a guy like him who's been down there a lot over the years, you know, props to him and the program that he's built, where, you know, when you're a regular down there, you're doing good things. You know, and those are teams you want to be complaining against. You want to be playing against the best. And it's kind of a standard of where we are as a program type of thing. So it was a great opportunity for us, and look forward to keep building and hopefully have an opportunity to do it again.
Coaches, I am really excited to announce this year's lineup for our 5th annual Pen and a Napkin Coaches Clinic. This year's clinic date is Saturday, April the 12th. It's going to take place at Mary R. Queen Gymnasium, located at 3405 South 119th Street here in Omaha. We've got 3 on-court demonstrators. Andy King, the head boys basketball coach at Elkhorn North High School, will get the day started with his clinic on developing your team through 5-on-5 controlled scrimmages. Jody Steyer, my good friend from Iowa State University, the associate head coach at Iowa State with the women's basketball team, is going to talk about individual player development in small group settings. Jamie Smith, the head girls basketball coach at Solon High School in Iowa, one of the best I've ever seen, teach about shooting fundamentals, is going to talk to us about how to put together a great shooting workout for your players. Coach Smith won a state championship last year at the Class 3A level in Iowa. Those are 3 on-court demonstrators. Then we're going to have 3 off-court demonstrators. Our lunch keynote speaker is my guy Raz Vanderloo, the head boys basketball coach at Sioux City East High School. And also, Raz is very involved with USA basketball. I'm just going to let Raz cook. He's going to talk to us just with a basketball smorgasbord of topics about what Raz wants to talk about that day. Then we're going to have 2 smaller breakout sessions. Lucas Dollinghouse, the head boys basketball coach at Johnson Brock here in high school, highly successful program. He's also an administrator, and he's going to talk about coaching through an administrator's eyes, along with some other things. Our other breakout session is weekday Wade Coulter, the head girls basketball coach at Gretna East High School, and he's going to talk about building a pressure defensive system. One of the great things about the Pen and a Napkin Clinic is, in addition to our presenters, we also have two designated breakout sessions where you will get the opportunity to discuss various topics with other coaches attending the clinic. These sessions are a great way to pick the brains of your peers at the clinic, and it's one of the most enjoyable points of our annual clinic. And then, hey, after a long day of learning about hoops, it's time to kick back and relax. We're going to have an optional post-clinic social at Wine 121. It's right down the street from Mary R. Queen, about a mile, mile and a half down the road. I want to thank my friend TK, Tom Crable, for opening his doors to the clinic again. It's just $15 per coach for anybody that wants to join us there. Our Pen and a Napkin Clinic is one of the most affordable clinics in America. I mean, it is really, really, really affordable. You're going to get over 7 hours worth of information. That's $60 for a coach. If you're just a singular coach that wants to come up and check it out, it's $60 a coach. If you bring yourself and another coach from your staff, it's $110. Three coaches from your staff, $150. If you bring four or more coaches from your staff, it is only $45 per coach. We've got a sliding scale. It's all about getting better at an affordable price. So if you are interested in signing up for our Pen and a Napkin Clinic, look to the flyer on Twitter and mail it in. You can scan it in. You can do all those different things, or you can DM me on Twitter, or you can email me apenandanapkin@gmail.com. Registrations are due by Thursday, April the 10th, 2025. Coaches, do not miss out on one of the best coaching clinics in America. Coach, you had off of last year's team, you had four seniors that were big contributors as well. What's the process been like this year? And obviously you're off to a great start. I think 10-1. Am I wrong with that? You dropped your first one and ran off 10 in a row. So, what was that process like over the off season, to replace those, really important pieces to your program and to get your team to where they are right now, which is in a really good place?
Yeah, no, definitely tough to lose four seniors. Cam Drake, Riker, and Zach, they were just crucial guys over 4 years. As freshmen, they came in, did a lot of great things, and just very pivotal to the program with their work ethic, with their passion, with their commitment to the program, and everything they've done over the years. Three of those guys are playing, college, two of them playing college basketball, one's playing college football. There's a testament of them and their efforts of what they've done over 4 years to push themselves. But We've been fortunate. We've had a great JV program. The last 3-4 years, our JVs have won 14 plus wins. So we've been building in the USU. If you want to have a good varsity program, you have to have a good JV program. You have to have a good reserve program. You have to continue to develop the guys underneath you. So we've been very blessed with having some great, great young kids coming up that we knew we had the opportunity to be good this year. As the summer came along, we also knew that there were some things we had to change. One of the things we did was change a little bit on the offensive side of things to kind of, again, fit the players that we had, to fit some of the, to give kind of, provide some different roles for guys. Just as you in high school, you don't really recruit to your system. You have the guys that are coming through your program, and at some point you have to change a little bit. And we kind of made some adjustments too on the offensive side this summer. And early on the season, took a little bit of adjustments. Dropped that first game versus Grad, and I wish we could have that one back now, because I feel like on the offensive side, we're a lot better now than we were then as we kind of progressed and as we kind of continue to develop. But again, testament to the guys that we have, moving up to the program where they can get a lot of reserve reps at young freshman level and then get a lot of great reps as sophomores and juniors at the JV level and just continue to develop. So again, hopefully there isn't really a step back from year to year, as you say. Mm-hmm. But I've been very impressed with our guys. They've worked really hard. They've had a great summer. We had some guys that stepped up and spent a lot of time in the gym, just working hard. And, these are guys we keep talking like, it's great to see them have the continue the success, because we knew it was possible. You knew it was possible, and they just have to go out there. And I think there's a lot of people probably overlooked us. You lose three, four seniors that are very pivotal on last year's team. Testament to these guys and what they've done, all the work they put in the offseason to get them to where they are right now at 10-1.
Yeah. Every team has its own journey, and not only are you faced with this situation where you have to replace these four really pivotal seniors, and three of them are college athletes, So, you know, it's obviously it's no coincidence that helps you look pretty smart too as well, Chip, you know, when
they're, it does.
When people at the next level want them to play for them in some way, shape or form, you got a good chance to be in a good place. So, not only are you navigating that, but you are, your team, your program moved up to Class B this year. So in Nebraska, for those of you out of state, we have Class A, which is our large schools, Omaha, Lincoln, Grand Island, et cetera. Class B is our second largest group of schools, and there's quite a gulf between you know, the largest school in Class B and the smallest school in Class B. And last year you were at C1, so you were one of the bigger schools in C1, and then this year you're one of the smaller schools in Class B, and Class B has kind of the largest discrepancy. I can't believe I said discrepancy correctly there, by the way. I want to thank Mrs. McKee, my second grade teacher, for helping me out with that. You're in that situation. How has that kind of changed some things for you and your program? Have you looked ahead to the postseason a little bit differently? Maybe did you add a couple of teams on your schedule that were Class Bs that maybe you didn't do before? Has that affected anything for you guys, Chip?
You know, we actually started making a change a couple of years ago. As we continue trying to develop and try to, you know, raise the standards in our program, I think it's been 3-4 years ago now, we started playing the Metro Summer League, which has been a big help to help get our guys ready. I remember the first year we went over there in the Metro Summer League, and it was an eye-opening experience for us, you know, playing some of the Class A and Class B teams. I think that first time we went over there, we went like 1-7, something like that, where, you know, it was a good opportunity for us to play some different teams, but also showed us, you know, hey, we have to improve to get better, because we knew, you know, we kind of knew that growth might be coming and there might be an opportunity for us to move up. And also with that comes, you know, the bigger challenges. You know, Class A and Class B basketball is a little different. You know, how they play is definitely, there's a different style. There's they're deeper benches. There's some different opportunities out there. So we kind of, a couple of years ago, started making that change within the program about what we do in the summer and what we do in the fall and who the teams that we play to kind of progress up. Come this season though, yeah, we did have to make some changes to our schedule. Unfortunately, I think the news broke out late. It was like March or April last year when it was. So we were scrambling. We had to scramble a little bit trying to find some teams. We had Gretna, we added York, and then we were fortunate to still be playing Platteview and Wahoo, who were Class B teams. Talking to Wayne as well, we just played Wayne a week ago. I didn't realize, but Wayne was actually tied with Wahoo. So I think Wayne and us both picked up each other because we thought we both might be B moving up. But yeah, you know, there is a big discrepancy, I think, is where you said, from the top of Class B to the bottom of Class B. But for us, you know, we keep talking about, you know, we can only control what we control.
Yep.
And that is, you know, we talk to our guys like, you know, yeah, there's an opportunity. We probably don't play as many Class B teams as some other schools in Class B do. But that's also just the scheduling, the conference that we play in, some different things. Like, you know, as we were trying some different opportunities to pick up teams, and you know, there's that, you know, sometimes you have a 2-year contract with schools, and there's a lot of different things that go into it. So yes, for this year, we did have to make a few changes here and there, move up, and there might be some changes moving on down the future. But like I said, we keep telling our guys, like, we don't like control, we control. And for us, is we just got to continue to get better every single day. And we just got to continue to play one game at a time, win the games that we can. And then if it happens in the postseason, you know, our whole goal is, you know, try to win sub districts and give yourself a shot at district final and go state. Yep. You know, I think that's what any team wants to do. And the way we're playing right now, I think we have a great opportunity to do that. We just got to keep building every single day and just keep getting better.
Mm-hmm. Well, you have, you know, every place has its challenges, it has its advantages, it has its disadvantages. You're in a situation where, just like very similar to myself, where, you know, we're bedroom communities just outside of Omaha. And so there's some good stuff about that. There's some bad things. The way Omaha is set up, you know, North Omaha is very different than West Omaha, which is very different than South Omaha. You know, so, you know, how have you used being kind of in that West Omaha area to your advantage? What are some possible disadvantages to it, Chip, you know, and just kind of go through that and using your geography to your advantage, hopefully.
For us, honestly, I still remember, I think my first year coming in, talking to some different coaches in the area, and, you know, we're talking about players and, you know, where they live and everything. And I think I remember that first year when I was the head coach at DC West, you know, talking to areas like, I think we had five starters for Class A programs within our district, and they were going elsewhere. And I think the biggest thing for me right away was we got to recruit within our district. We got to get the kids that live in our district here to come here, you know? And a lot of things for me is, you know, we just want to build our program up to where we want to keep the kids that are in our program staying in our program. Mm-hmm. You know, we have a lot of great youth kids coming up. We have a lot of kids coming through the program. We want to build it where the kids that are in our program want to stay. And then from there, it's, you know, I think there's some movement that comes out there. We have a lot of houses going up. And with those houses coming up, there's been some great additions within, some great families that have been coming into the program. And it's, you know, the program is great, but our school is awesome. You know, we have a lot of great teachers. We have phenomenal families within the school, within the program, some great administration. And, you know, it's not so much, I don't overuse the word recruiting. I never really recruit. No, I get
encouragement.
It.
Encouragement. Yes.
For me, it's, you know, we want to make our program a great program to be around, where if anybody's, you know, unhappy where they are, maybe they see something that we're doing well. If they ever want to come join our program, that'd be great, you know. Mm-hmm. But same thing, you know, over the years, we've lost a lot of great players through our program, you know. It's very easy where we live for other bigger schools in the metro area to come calling and come get some of our kids, you know. Which is tough to lose those. But again, over the years, we want to just continue to build up what we have within our program and just continue to be successful with what we have. You know, we don't have control of what other schools do and some of those things, but we know we have control of the players in our program and just put them in the best situations to be successful as we can.
Do you sometimes feel when a kid leaves a program, it's kind of bittersweet? And of course, I mean, let's be completely transparent, you know, it really stings when you lose a really talented kid. But at the same time, you kind of have the attitude of, hey, look, we've done everything that we can to keep you here. And I know that, and I'm not saying that anybody's done this to you, Coach, so, but I'm just going to use random schools kind of out in your area, you know, a Millard West or a Scud or a Millard North. You know, we've put together something really, really good here. You know, I'm sorry. That's, you don't feel like that's good enough for you. The door is always open. If you want to return, we wish you nothing but the best. But is there also kind of that, hey, I guess, you know, if you don't want to be here, then don't be here. And I'm going to work with the kids that really, really want to be here at DC West.
Yeah, there's definitely some of that, you know, and the biggest thing, I think we keep talking, you know, we have conversations with our players and there's definitely some players on our team right now that other schools have reached out to. And the conversation we always have with our players is, you know, one of the biggest things that we value within our school, within our program, is development. Mm-hmm. You know, the biggest thing that we see sometimes, and it's happened in the past, where, you know, a player might go to a bigger program and, you know, they might be a really good shooter. Well, they go to a bigger program, that's all they're going to do is they're going to shoot. Mm-hmm. Or, you know, if they're big guy, that's all they're going to do is just be a big guy. You know, where when you're in a smaller school, when you're in a Class B, C1 school, you kind of know this yourself as a coach, but you have to have well-rounded players. You know, you have to have kids that play inside, outside. You have to have bigs that can bring up the ball sometimes. You have to, you know, there's just that development piece that comes with being in a smaller school, because sometimes you're forced to do more, you know, and with that, when that comes, it's just, there's some more development that comes with it. And that's always the conversation that we have with our players, you know? And I think that conversation has helped with some of our players, hopefully get them to say, you know, we've seen a lot of great development within our programs and are some of our better players. We've lost some players that I wish could have stayed, and I feel like we could maybe develop them more. But, you know, everybody's got their own journey and everybody's got their own ambitions and what they want to do past high school. And, you know, I respect, you know, the players and the families having conversations. And if they think that's best going to a bigger school, then that's their choice, you know. Mm-hmm. No ill will towards that. But, we're definitely going to coach hard the kids that we have in our program and do what's best. And again, like I said, we pride ourselves on development. I think that's a big separator sometimes in the smaller schools that maybe gets unnoticed as much, maybe, you mm-hmm. know. The speed of the game is there for the bigger classes. And, you know, obviously the shot clock was a big selling point maybe a couple years ago, but now all the schools have shot clocks, you know. But the opportunity that we have as a smaller school to truly develop, you know, an inside-outside game for players, some different skills that they might not recognize as possible, because, you know, we're going to try and develop or try and get the most out of them as we can as a well-rounded athlete. Mm-hmm.
As we enter into this holiday season, coaches, you know what would make a great gift for you this year? It would be a copy of Kings of Their Court, the story of the 2020-2021 season here in Omaha. Three ranked teams in the top 25 in the country, and you're going to hear the personal and professional stories of players like Hunter Salas and Chucky Hepburn, Frankie Fiddler, William Kyle, coaches like Tim Cannon, Josh Ludke, and Doug Woodard. Yeah, just a terrific, terrific story, a crazy time period in our country with quarantine, politics, George Floyd, and everything in between. Yours for only $19.99. Go to Amazon, go to books, look up Kings of Their Court, and order a copy of that today. It's going to be a great stocking stuffer for you, for somebody that you love. Tell your wife, tell your spouse, tell your kids, hey, I would love to have a copy of this book and have something to read here and to just read about a great basketball story. Kings of Their Court, available on Amazon.com today. Coach, at this time, let's jump into our John Wooden quote of the day from Wooden, A Lifetime of Observations. Coach Dehling, are you ready for the John Wooden quote of the day?
I am, yeah.
All right. From, let me see here, I got to get to the right page here. Page 79 of Wooden, Wooden, A Lifetime of Observations. The John Wooden quote of the day is, in looking forward, I never expected miracles to happen. Instead, I expected the slow, steady progress that comes with industry and patience. Miracles were welcome, of course. I just felt more comfortable focusing on that over which I had some degree of control.
That's a good one. Kind of reflexive of kind of my journey so far. I'd agree with that a little bit. That's a good quote.
Yeah. Well, and I think that in most, you know, everybody wants the quick fix. Everybody wants, you know, to just, you know, and when somebody does a quick fix, everybody goes, well, how come everybody can't do that? Well, you know, how come everybody can't be Jeff Bezos or Warren Buffett? You know, I mean, it's really, really uncommon. And I think that, everybody, you know, kind of like what Wooden said, everybody's welcome to the miracle. Everybody would love to have the miracle, but more often than not, it is the daily grind. It is the patience. It is the industry, as Wooden puts it, to get you to that point where you sustain success. I mean, like you, you know, in your state tournament berth last year, you're going up against Coach Weeks and, nobody. It's hard to find somebody that grinds as much as Coach Weeks does. And he's been doing it for a long, long time. And yet that passion is still there. And he's not asking for miracles. He's just doing it one step at a time on a daily basis. And I think that's a big part of it as well. I mean, that's what I think when I hear that, Chip. I don't know. What do you think?
No, I agree. Yeah. There's definitely a lot of respect for the guys that grind it out on a daily basis. And continue, like I said, that sustained success doesn't happen by chance. You know, doesn't happen by chance. There's definitely a passion and grind. And I've seen that we played each other the last 3 years in the regular season. And he gets just as ready for a regular season game as does for a state tournament game. And that's definitely, there's a lot of respect there for what he does in his program.
Mm-hmm. Coach, let's jump into your philosophy a little bit here, and let's switch the tracks here a bit. You had mentioned defense, and you wanted defense to be kind of the cornerstone of your program. You said, what'd you say, 5 years in a row, you set the school record for points allowed per game. You know, so obviously you're doing something right there on the defensive end. So at this point, I'm going to kind of turn it over to you, Chip, and just kind of try to be quiet and interrupt politely when I feel it necessary. But tell us a little bit about your pressure defense philosophy. What you're trying to accomplish, if you know any drills that you may, you know, two or three good drills that maybe you used to implement it, that type of thing. I'm just going to open up the microphone for you, Coach, and you just go ahead and cook here. So,
no, like I said, yeah, about 4 or 5 years ago, we made that goal. We really put emphasis on the defensive side of the ball, and as I said before that, I felt like we were decent defensive team, but also we're probably running a little bit too much zone and man, and didn't really have a true identity of what we were on the defensive end. So 5 years ago, we really kind of made that force where we had some very athletic, quick guards, and we said, hey, you know, we have to use this athleticism to kind of make us better, we felt like. Mm-hmm. And that was, we wanted to go full court man. And at that point, we were going to go full court man. It wasn't a sense of are going to force turnovers and everything. But it's also an opportunity of like, we want to make other teams uncomfortable as best we can. You know, we want to be up on other teams' point guards or trying to deny certain guys the basketball as much as we can to make them get them out of their rhythm. So to say, you know, and it starts at the, you know, our younger levels of just understanding the principles of what a full court man is, you know, where it's not the idea of we're going to get a turnover on every time, or we're not going to get that ball, but it's just constant pressure of wearing a team down over a 32-minute game. You know, I remember talking with some of the opposing coaches where, you know, there's a difference in that first quarter, but then all of a sudden you still have that pressure going in the third and the fourth quarter,
yep.
And you're still up in them all game long. It has a wear and tear on you, you know, yep. and it does. And that's something we want to develop within practice. You know, we do a lot of one-on-ones. Go back to talked about Jim Boone earlier. You know, Jim Boone, big on closeouts. You know, we talked a lot on closeouts.
Yep.
We do a lot on closeouts. We do a lot of a shell drill. Within shell drill, there's some different things that we do within our rotations. It's about that time we really started working on our ball screen coverages. We really started making ball screen coverages a better thing where we got up and within that pressure, we wanted to start firing ball screens, where we want to start trapping and being more aggressive with what we do. And just using kind of our athleticism that we had to put more pressure on teams and, like I said, just kind of wear and tear on them.
Mm-hmm.
And again, testament to our guys where it's tough, you know, and especially this year, you know, we have some bigger, longer, tougher guys where, you know, when you're not a 5'10" athletic player, but all of a sudden you're 6'3" or 6'4" out there and we're asking you to guard, you know, a 6-foot point guard full court. Like, that's a tough thing to do, but our guys still do it, you know, and again, testament to them, what they do. And it's been a grind to get us where we were, but it takes the right players to invest and be committed to knowing, you know, it's not the short term, but the long term game of what we want.
Yeah.
It's that grind over 32 minutes of the basketball game that we're looking for. It's the uncomfortness. It's the getting the other teams out of their rhythm and their comfortability that we're kind of looking for.
Yeah.
And that pressure defense has really kind of really helped us create a bigger identity. I felt like the defensive side.
You know, and we kind of did the same thing, just in a different way with my program the last couple of years, where it was going to be in your face, 94 feet, trapping and rotating and different things like that. And yeah, you know, teams could handle it for a quarter maybe, but at some point you're probably going to break, and we're going to go on that 8-0 run, that 10-0 run. And it's in a lot of ways, don't you think, Chip, it's kind of a calculated risk that if we just keep grinding, if we just keep doing what we're doing, we're going to break you here at some point.
You know, definitely. You know, we talk about that too. I remember, I remember talking about this last year, or we're looking up the stats, big stats. I'm a math teacher, so obviously stats come, I like stats.
Mm-hmm.
But I remember looking at, like, you know, March Madness last year, and talking about some of the different teams. And one of the biggest metrics they had was teams that make runs. You mm-hmm. know, the teams that don't give up runs on the defensive end, but then can make a run on the offensive end. And for us on the defensive side, we call it hard hats. I think some programs might call it kills or stops, yeah, whatever it is. But on the defense side, we call it a hard hat for us. It's the idea that we want to get three stops in a row,
yep,
six times throughout a game.
Yep.
And you probably had the same idea and do something similar. But yeah, for us, it was if we can get three stops in a row six times and kind of grind on teams that way throughout a basketball game, we'll find ourselves on the winning end more than we will the losing end.
Mm-hmm.
And then there'll be times where, you know, coming out of halftime, coming out of a quarter, it's like, hey, we have to get three stops in a row right now.
Yep.
We have to really make them make mistakes and try to make that run that we have right now on the offensive end while making stops on the defensive end. And again, when you can do that throughout the game, and again, through that pressure defense, it's a big difference maker, you know?
Mm-hmm. What you talked about closeouts and the influence of Coach Boone, and I wholeheartedly agree. You know, in some way, shape, or form, we were going to work on closeouts 5 to 10 minutes every single day in practice. That was a goal. So what are some of your favorite closeout drills, Coach?
You know, for us, a lot of times, and this was back, kind of a throwback too, about 7-8 years ago, I remember heading over to Meade, Nebraska, talking to Coach Quinn. Had a great summer day with him, just kind of talking. And at that point, again, this guy getting ready for that system, we did some closeouts. But again, there was the angles. Was, you know, I talked about, like, where are you doing your closeouts from? Are you doing them from all the spots on the floor? Or are you just repping, you know, the same spots over and over again? At that point, we weren't quite rotating correctly. So we do a lot of one-on-one closeouts, but a lot of one-on-one closeouts from the different spots on the floor within our system. We don't want to, you know, we're not always going to do closeouts from the top of the key. We're not always going to do them from the wing. We might do them from different spots along the three-point line or from different areas. And again, just working the hands, working on keeping our guy in front of us. From there, we, you know, within the Jim Boone system, there's the different types of closeouts. We call it the Korver, Kobe, and Rondo closeouts, you know, based on what type of shooters they are. And we stress that, and then that goes into our scouting reports about, you know, what type of closeouts we need on certain players and, you know, what we need to do to be successful within who we're playing and what we're doing. We rep that. And then from there, we do a lot of two-on-two closeouts where, again, it's closing out, but then on the pass, you know, we got to get back to that gap. We have to get over in our spots, you know, stopping the drives, closing out to shooters out there. And then again, from there, we go to 3-on-3 closeouts with rebounding a lot of times with that, where, you know, it's the closeouts, but then again, getting a handout and then securing possessions, finishing with rebounds. You know, we do a lot of just breakdown drills like that. Yeah. We try to implement some combination of those three, at least daily, within what we're doing to instill, you know, those daily nuggets of, you know, what we want to be about, you know. And I still remember, it was about a week ago, I think, maybe 2 weeks ago, our closeouts weren't very good in a day in one of our games where, you know, we're kind of where I was fundamental and we come back the next day. It's like, hey, you know, we spent a little more time the next day. Like, hey, we got to get back to the basics here, you know. sometimes after Christmas break, you know, you kind of lose some focus, those types of things. And, you know, I remember that next day of practice where, hey, we're going to get back to the basics. Let's get back here. Let's focus in on what we're going to be about and make sure we're putting ourselves in a successful situation so we can win these big games coming up.
Yeah. So how do you take those one-on-ones and those closeouts, and how are you piecing it all together to make the big picture look good?
You know, for us, you know, whole part whole, right?
Yeah.
So, you know, talk about it in the 5-on-5 situations, what we're doing here. Let's break it down the part here. We know there's the, you know, the one-on-ones where there's, you know, hey, your guy can't score, you have to finish rebounds, but then they put it back to the whole part again, where it's, you know, you got to get so many stops here. You have to, you know, even within practice, as we, you do the closeouts, then you do it in the scrimmages where it's, hey, you know, the defense here, we're running 8 minutes here. I expect to get 3 stops in a row. We're not finishing this drill until we get 3 stops in a row, you know, but putting that focus of what we are and who we want to be about within those daily aspects.
Yeah. And I assume it's no coincidence that you keep talking about 3 stops in a row, 3 stops in a row, so that when you're saying that in a game, you know, it's a easily transferable thing that, hey, we do this all the time.
Yeah. You know, it's actually interesting. We talk about it every year within our parent meeting. Being here sometimes, even the parents, you know, when it's a big time, you know, some of the parents are like, hey, let's get a hard hat, you know, like it's the embodiment of what we are and who we want to be. And, you know, it's a shared common goal of what we want to do. And, you know, I think we recognize when we're talking about huddle, like, hey, we need to get 3 shots in a row, you know, you get a little more attentive. They're like, yeah, we do. We need to get some stops right here, you know, and it's just, you recognize there's those points in the games where you just have to recognize that. And let's say on the flip side, I mean, we also track that on our offensive side, you know, hey, have we not scored 3 times in a row? Are we giving the opponents some of the same energy that we want to give ourselves? And do we need to make sure we're scoring on the offensive side? So we recognize that on the other side of the ball as well too.
Mm-hmm. Well, you're taking that defensive game plan and you're taking that defense philosophy and you're making it part of your game plan. You know, Chip, how do you put together a scouting report? How do you, let's go start to finish. Let's say you played on Tuesday night and you don't play again till Friday. So what's Wednesday, Thursday and Friday looking like, you know, for DC West?
For me, a lot of times the night after the game, I'll go back, watch the film, either myself and assistant coaches or an assistant coach. Usually at least me and one other coach will sit down and we'll watch through that night's game, the night of, and again, go back through what did we do well? What are things that we need to work on moving forward, knowing what teams are coming up. Then as we prepare for that next game, I'll start watching. Usually I'm still old school, you know, I'm sure you might appreciate that as well, but I'm still old school in a sense of, I like to see, all the teams that we play on the schedule at least once or if not twice or more live. Okay. I want to see as many teams as we can live. even if it's a Tuesday and we don't play till Friday, I'm going to pull up the schedule and say, hey, are they playing any games for the year there? Or again, I might have seen them hopefully back in December, you know, where I try and see some teams live and try to get a feel for what they do or who they are as a team, you know, because film, I don't know, film's great. And all the analytics that are coming with it are now even better and they do a lot of great things. But, you know, seeing a team live and seeing their physicality or seeing how much, you know, they're bigger than what they look like, or they're faster than they look like, those types of things. I think there's a lot of respect to seeing that team live. But as they prepare, I usually try and get about as much film as I can. I probably watch a lot more film than I should, and probably much more than what my wife would probably appreciate. but I watch as much film as I can. You know, we have a big game versus UTN coming up on Tuesday. As assistant coach, we're going to go see them live. I've seen them live already once as well. And you know, I think we have about every one of their films that we'll watch through and we'll go through. From there, Huddle Assist has been great. You know, we brought a new assistant coach on. We weren't very familiar with Huddle Assist until about last year, and some of the programs, some of the stuff that the analytics that Ike brings into. But obviously, you know, Huddle Assist has a lot of great things with shot metrics and some different breakdowns that it has. But also kind of get a feel for what teams do offensively, defensively, then recognizing what are our team's skill sets, what do we need to do, you know, as you prepare for a team, you know, there's a lot of different man defenses out there. You know, what are teams doing? Are they going to switch? Are they going to, what are they doing on ball screen coverages? Mm-hmm. What are they doing out of timeouts? What are they doing at quarters? Are they switching things up? You know, the big thing with the shot clock this year that I've seen a lot of teams is, you know, after timeouts or quarters, teams are switching to a different defense, especially when you have the ball coming out. Mm-hmm. If you have the ball coming out, the coaches are knowing, oh, hey, they're drawing up a man set. We're going to go zone for one possession. We're coming out man. So that's been a big adjustment this year from the scouting side, is just making sure our guys recognize, you know, we're coming out of huddles. We have to have a zone play ready and a man play ready for a special coming out possibly, because teams have been switching it more, and just make sure we're putting our guys in our successful situations. Mm-hmm. And then from there, you know, gosh, I feel like I might be rambling a little bit here, but
you're doing great, man. Don't worry.
Player tendencies, you know, recognizing what are players, what do they do? And I think, you know, Huddle's great at that, in a sense of, you know, you can sort it out per player a lot of times, you know, the shots they're taking or the plays that they're making. So you can kind of get a breakdown that way. But I still remember this. I think it was a podcast I listened to years ago, you know, talking about different things when it came to scouting. And one of the biggest things that I do, and I think that's kind of helps maybe separate us, is every time I watch a team, I try to watch it like I'm watching them for the first time, mm-hmm. which is tough to do. Yep. But it's one of those things where, you know, when you play a team over and over again, especially conference teams, you're like, oh, well, I know this team. This is what they do. And, you know, but when you try to watch a game or you're trying to watch a team, like, hey, if you're going to watch this team for the first time, what are you seeing? What do you need to write down? Because I remember, you know, I was getting ready for a game over the holiday break. And I came back to a film and, you know, came back to that film, new film, first time the game came through, and I picked something up I didn't see the first two or three times, mm-hmm. you know, where I wasn't just watching it to watch it, but I was trying to watch it again. Like, what was something I missed? Is there mm-hmm. anything I'm missing here? Is there something new? And within that, there was this different thing, kind of wrinkle they did within their offense that I started picking up on, that again, put us in a great opportunity in that game of recognizing what we can do within our defense to exploit it, type of thing. Mm-hmm. So it's just those little things right there. And like I said, I watched a ton of film and kind of scour through some different things just to put ourselves and our team in the best situation possible. But I do a ton of so I try to watch as much live as I can. I remember I have four young kids, and you know, my wife sometimes works nights, she works in the hospital. So there's a lot of times where it's, hey, I'm packing up four kids and kids, we're going to a game tonight and we're gonna go watch this team. And yep. my boys are getting old enough now where they'll help at least keep a shot chart or do something.
Yep.
So it's an enjoyment. It's a family thing. We actually, last Friday, birthday, and I and my wife want to take me on. I said, you know, sorry, wife, we have to go watch the game. I have a big game coming up here this week, and we have to go watch them. And so the whole family came out that night, and we kind of made a date night out of it, the whole family, to go watch upcoming opponents, scout them live, just because, you know, I told her, I said, the bigger birthday present to me is if we can get that win versus them coming up here, than me going out, you know, doing something else. So it's something that I love. And, you know, I'm fortunate to have a family that's passionate about it and that enjoys the game of basketball as well.
Yeah. How are you communicating your scout to your kids? How are you presenting that to them?
Yeah. So early on in the weeks, a lot of times, like after the day of or the, as we kind of prepare, I'll send out in our group messages kind of preliminary matchups, some preliminary thoughts, some things as they start repping through film. And then in the days leading up, we'll go through about 15, 20 minutes of film together. Again, just kind of some of the bigger highlights that we want to make sure that they see. And then I clip a ton of stuff, or myself or assistant coaches will clip about every film that we have on there. And we ask them then on their own just to go back through and look to the stuff that we have clipped. You know, so again, the game we have coming up on Tuesday, I think we have 7 films on those guys. We'll go through probably some of like 10 to 20 of the bigger highlights, some of the things that they play offensively or defensively, some things that we need to maybe adjust, that we need to recognize, or just maybe some player tendencies that we need to make sure we see. And then we'll go through that together. But then again, we'll mark all the other films within the same ideas so again, they can see it over and over and over again and get themselves prepared. Mm-hmm. You know, like I said, we have a lot of great guys that, you know, want to push himself to be the best, and they've really embodied that and take pride in that. So it's been great, you know. Mm-hmm. Even today, as we prepare for our game, you know, got back late last night from our game. We already sent out our preliminary scouting report today for our game on Tuesday. We'll go through more information tomorrow together as a team. Kind of go through our whole scouting report. Within that, we kind of go through starters, bench players, offensive tendencies, defensive tendencies, and kind of our keys and goals that we need to have to win this game. And then we'll go through all that together and kind of talk through it and then show the clips to kind of help reinforce that. And then again, we go through that beginning of practice and then we go rep it on the floor, you know, and we kind of tell our guys like, hey, like we like you to see the stuff before the practice. That way, yeah, when we go on there and start repping it, they have an understanding of why we're talking about it, you know? So there's just that understanding of just kind of that reinforcing of why we might tweak something defensively, you know, why we're going to rotate maybe this way as opposed to what we did this last game this way, you know. And sometimes, you know, we worked some different ball screens as well, recognizing, you know, what are the tendencies that team's successful at. We had a team earlier in the year that, you know, felt like they wanted to get, didn't maybe shoot as much, and they're big, like to kind of screen and pop. When we prepared for that game, we had to work through, you know, some squeeze coverage on that one within the ball screens, which again, we took, you know, take 5-10 minutes to work on those things just to make sure we're in, put ourselves in successful situations. And our guys came out there and executed that, you know, flawlessly that night. It was a great job of our guys recognizing what we have to do defensively within different settings. And again, you know, before the games, as we get ready for games, we kind of, you know, don't say quiz them, but we ask them, like, hey, what are we doing on these situations? They come out, they run this, what are we going to do? And just making sure that they all understand what we're doing within the different situations of the game. So we're all ready to go. Mm-hmm.
Coaches are absolutely loving our Taking Over a New Program booklet. As many of you know, I spent 2 years outside of coaching, and during that time, I hung a note card in my workspace at school that said, "Strip the house down to the studs." I took that time to really rethink and reorganize my thoughts on what it takes to run a transformational program. As I prepared for the possibility of coaching again, I organized these thoughts into this 96-page booklet. How much do I trust this booklet? I used this booklet as I went on interviews to help sell myself and my vision for what my new program would look like. If I'm using it to sell myself, why wouldn't I recommend it to you, my listeners? This booklet will help you look at any part of your program, no matter what stage you're at in your program, and help improve it in some way. It's all yours for only $15, which includes shipping and handling. For more information, email me at apenandanapkin@gmail.com. A Pen and a Napkin University videos are just another way that a pen and a napkin can help you become a better coach. Our university video library is constantly expanding with topics ranging from interviewing for a job to full court defense to 25 universal truths about coaching. Our university videos will help you round out your skill set as a coach and help you hone your craft. Videos are $10 a piece with bundling options available. To order, you can DM me on Twitter, send me an email at apenandanapkin@gmail.com, or order from our website, apenandanapkin.com. Be sure to check out the A Pen and a Napkin video library. Coach, let's talk about your culture that you've built over the years here. You know, it's you kind of took over a situation where you had some building to do, and you've built a really positive thing out there in Western Douglas County. What are some keys that you think that you and your staff have done a good job of over the last decade or so to get your program to this point?
You know, I think one of the bigger things that we did, you know, 4 or 5 years ago, kind of that mid, through the mid 10 years that I've been there at Ever, we started identifying some different aspects of how we can reward players within games. You know, everybody wants to see, you know, everybody looks at the paper a lot of times and they see, you know, who scores the points and, you know, they get their name for that. But our biggest thing is we wanted to recognize the guys that go above and beyond and the different aspects of a game, because, you know, the guy that scores 20 points, he's a big successful to the team as well. But it's also the guy that gets 10 rebounds, the guy that takes 2 charges in a game. You know, those impact plays are really help change the impact of a game. And we mm-hmm. talked about the hard hats, the 3 stops in a row. So with about 4 or 5 years ago, we had a group of guys that came in and we kind of worked together with those guys to develop our individual hard hats of what it means to be rewarded for the plays that aren't necessarily scoring points. So what can we do to reward those guys? And the biggest thing is, you know, a hard hat for us individually is, you know, a guy taking a charge.
Yeah.
That's a big reward. Obviously, a lot of things have that. Another one is that, you know, if a guy comes in and gets 5 offensive rebounds, you know, if you have the mentality and the tenacity to go get 5 offensive rebounds in a game, that's 5 extra possessions that you're giving our team. And that's a big thing we want to reward. 10 rebounds total, you know, having guys that want to go secure finish possessions, go get 10 rebounds, 5 assists, the guys that share the basketball, those guys, we want to reward those guys that are sharing the basketball, get 5 assists in game. And then anybody that gets a hustle play. And then within our, we do some post game media stuff. And that's one of the things we put in there is who earned hard hats in that game. So it might not be the guy that scored the most points, but, you know, if you're a bench player and you come off the game, you come off the floor, or if you come into the game as a bench player, you know, hey, you can make an impact on this game by doing these things right there. And those are things that we really want to reward as a program. That's really helped push our culture and just who we are as a team and just everything that we kind of want to embody. And the guys, you know, when our guys do that within a game, you know, everybody celebrates it. You know, the bench stands up, they get excited for guys. You know, the 50-50 balls, when we have guys diving in the crowd to save them, you know, sip them to a teammate. When the guys, I remember this last year, we had a bench guy come off the floor with like 30 seconds in the game, it's kind of a transition play, and he sprinted his butt all the way down there and took a charge, you know, and the bench, everybody goes crazy, and it's just like, that's an awesome experience, because we want those are the plays that help push your program to the next level. When you have guys that are willing to do that at the end of games and not just, you know, go through the motions of playing the game, you know, yeah. But still embody what we want to be about and who we are as a team. And then from there, you know, we just have a great group of guys that just enjoy being around each other. You know, the summer, we have to do a lot of stuff in the summer together with open gyms and camps. Occasional get-togethers and just guys that just relish being around each other and just playing with each other and making the best out of each other. It's been great.
Yeah. Well, and I think with those type of things, A, it's a little bit easier to get that instant result through huddle and different things. And you can go back, oh yeah, you know, Frank did get that loose ball there. We got to reward him for that. And those, you know, we have to coach kids differently than we did when I played, you know, and I'm a bit more seasoned and experienced than you are, Chip. But, you know, it was just, that's just what you did. There was no thought of, you know, positive reinforcement in that way. But we do have to, as more modern coaches, rare is the program that you don't have to come up with, I don't want to call it gimmicks, because it's not gimmicks, because it's, you know, it is truly important to what you're trying to do and what you're trying to accomplish. But kids need to have those tangible things to know, you know, why am I diving on that floor? What, you know, what's going to, I don't want to say what's going to be in it for me, but you know, you see where, I hope you see where I'm going with that, Chip, don't
yeah.
you?
Yeah, no, for sure. Again, versus it's the testament of, you know, we kind of talk about, we just want to be the hardest working team on the floor.
Yeah.
And just what we embody and just, you know, how, what are things that you can do within a game to show that and just to replicate that, I guess. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. What about your, let's wrap up on this, Coach. Let's talk about, unique things about your program. What do you feel like is, if you leave another program or if you come from another program and you come into the DC West program, what is different about that that might be different from other programs?
You know, I think the biggest thing, not talking about our program, I guess, but just our school as a whole, we just have a lot of great people in our school. You know, we have a lot of great teachers. We have a great coaching staff. We have people that just care about the kids, not only the kids in our school, but the kids in our program, you know, where it's definitely a difference maker. You know, we had a new kid transfer come in this year, and I think it's been a great experience for him. Just, you know, just the school as a whole, not only just our program, but we every day we kind of do a word of the day, quote of the day within our program. And just sometimes, you know, as we know, it's bigger than basketball. There's life lessons to learn. There's different things. And one of the things that we do within our program is we try bringing guest speakers from within our school, within our organization. Earlier this year, our AD came in. We just had one of our other teachers who everybody loves come in and talk to our team. But just sometimes it's just the, you know, the program is not just about us within it, but within everybody in the school, within the community that we have, that hopefully kind of sets us apart. Mm-hmm. Because while we are representing our team, we're also representing our school and we're representing our community. And we want people invested in who we are and what we do. And just we want our players to understand, like, they're playing for something bigger than themselves when they go out and play for the game. It's been great. We have a lot of young kids that come to our games. And the cheering support from them has been awesome. But also kind of to go back to our high school guys and kind of remind them, like, hey, you are role models for all these young kids coming up, that they look to you. And some of those guys, same guys that come turned around and helped with our younger youth programs. So I think the biggest separator within, you know, talk about our school and our program where we is, and I think a lot of schools have it, but I think our school maybe embodies it most from other places I've been, is just the genuine relationships, not only within the program, but within everybody within our school and our community. DC West is a phenomenal place. You know, I wouldn't be there for 13 years if it wasn't, you know, and I've been teaching out there for 13 years. My kids now go to school out there. I now have a former player who's on the coaching staff with us. So it's a great turnaround where you have a former player that's not coming back and helping coach the same teams that he played for, you know. And when you have that within the program, it's an amazing thing when people are invested to truly help turn your team and your young players into men, into adults, into future husbands, fathers, and different things that are out there. So it's just the bigger picture of everything that goes along with it. I think that really helps separate our program, I think, in our school from everybody else.
Mm-hmm. How much convincing does it take to talk to your staff members and have them come in and give those talks? And what are some ones that you kind of remember that of staff members that have come in?
To be honest, not at all. I usually give them a warning. I say, hey, pick a date. I'd like you to come in, kind of pick a date type of thing. I think our superintendent last year talked about character. She came in and talked about character. You know, when you have the superintendent of school who's obviously has very high character herself and just and where she is, and, you know, she's kind of a staple within the metro area. A big leader in the area, but having her come down and talk to our team about character and what that means and how we represent ourselves and everything that we do. And it was a great message for our kids. Mm-hmm. Just last week, our teacher talked about balance. She came in and talked about, you know, as the second semester is coming out, you know, life gets busy. There's, you know, the sun's not shining as much. You know, we just got to make sure we have balance in what we're doing on the basketball court, as much as what you're doing in school and what you're doing in your lives. Like, you have to have that balance in your life to continue to make yourself happy. And, like, if you just fully go one way and you don't invest in the other ones, you know, there's things that are missing.
Yeah.
And she kind of equated to our team too. You know, we found ourselves down early a week ago and trailed the entire game, but ended up, you know, grabbing a lead with 2 minutes to go and pulling out a win. And, you know, she kind of talked to our team about that too. She's like, I watched you guys the entire game. And she's like, you guys never look frustrated. You never look flustered. You just stayed, you know, calm, composed. You just kept battling, kept playing. And she's like, it was great to see that you guys kind of have that balance within yourselves to recognize you just got to keep playing. And then good things happen at the end. Those have been great. And occasionally, like I said, we'll bring in head coaches of other programs. You know, we have a lot of great head coaches within our school. And, you know, we have a lot of kids that are also, you know, play multiple sports. So again, it's the biggest thing is just to try and get everybody invested into who we are and what we want to do. And it's been great. So we started bringing more people in a couple of years ago. As coaches, usually we'll talk, and sometimes we'll let the players talk. You know, hey, what's the word of the day today? You're going to talk to the team today. What's the message you want to share on this word to the team, and let our players kind of grow within leaders that way, which has been great.
Mm-hmm. Chip Daling, head boys basketball coach, DC West. Great conversation today, Coach. Just a lot of really good things here. Coach, if folks want to know more about you or more about your program, how can they find out?
Come out to the game. You know, DC West is a great spot. Feel free to give me an email anytime if you ever have any questions.
No, that place wasn't very kind to me a couple of times. I'm going to say that. So I'm joking, of course. Yes. You hospitality is awesome. There.
What? Yes, yes. So you've got some good teams out there. I've watched that program grow over there. Yeah. They've been well successful.
Yeah. No, sorry, but what else? What else? Sorry, Coach. I should not have interrupted you. That was kind
no,
of
you're
weird.
Good.
Any social media, anything like that? If folks want to know more about you,
Yeah, on Twitter, DC West Hoops. We are pretty active on Twitter. We have a lot of social media presence there. I do have I teach a sports media class now. They have an Instagram account, DC West Hoops, as well. But Twitter's kind of where you follow us and you see a lot of our stuff there. We're a little more social, but otherwise, yeah, feel free to send me an email, cdaehling, cdaehling at dcwest.org. Always, again, I've been fortunate to be around a lot of great coaches in our area that have helped me to be successful. And also, anything I can ever do to help give back to any coaches, I'm an open door. You know, anything I can do to help out, I'm open.
Well, Coach, I appreciate your time here today and helping out coaches and terrific conversation. I hope you enjoyed your first time here on A Pen and a Napkin.
I do. I appreciate it. Yeah, it's been a great experience. Like I told you, I don't know, I'm a pretty simple guy with what I do and who we are. But like I said, I'm very appreciative of everything, all the opportunities I've had out at DC West. Like I said, I talked about earlier, I think we've had a lot of great, assistant coaches that help push our program forward. I've had a lot of great players and a lot of great families coming through, and we continue to have them coming through. Mm-hmm. Excited to keep going this season and see what we can make out of it. You know, we got 10-1 right now and big stretch of basketball coming up this week and moving forward. So again, appreciate where you are right now. Hopefully you just keep that grind going.
I'm sure you will, Coach. Wish you best of luck here. If you can hold the line, we're going to wrap everything up here. Again, Chip Daling, head boys basketball coach, DC West High School here, just outside of Omaha. We, of course, want to thank our founding sponsor, Cosac Chiropractic. Follow us on Twitter at A Pen and a Napkin. Download, rate, and review this. Give us 5 stars. Subscribe. Do all that fun stuff. Questions, comments, suggestions, or ideas, email me, apenandanapkin@gmail.com. Go to apenandanapkin.com. It's a really good coaching website. There's a lot of good things on there. I like it because, you know, but I'm biased. I'm the one that's made it. So, but a lot of really good stuff here with Coach today. Hope folks have appreciated it. He's built a really nice program out there in Valley, Nebraska. So, hope folks, you get a chance to check him out here if you're in the Omaha area. So, for Coach Daling, coaches, as always, let's be sure to hone our craft one day at a time.